He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only advisory firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And, you know, I was worried that all of the fervor around Jensen Huang's big speech yesterday probably was overhyped going into it, and would probably not be enough to keep the AI fires lit. And that looks to be the case here this morning with the NASDAQ down 82 points. That puts the NASDAQ at 16,021. And NVIDIA itself is also down today. I guess Wang just wasn't exciting enough out there with anything new. But it still looks, I mean, it's gone into a sideways trend. NVIDIA is down 2.5% today. The Dow's up 69 points to 38,859. The S&P 500 is down 16 points to 5,133. Small caps are down today. Crude oil, you know, I got to believe that's going to come up at today's meeting, FOMC meeting. All of a sudden, crude's crept up to $83 per barrel. We'll talk a little bit about that today as to why that is taking place. Bitcoin was getting slammed last time I looked. Oh, man, it's down 4,160 to 63,000. It seems like you've got some risk off right now in the market taking place. The 10-year is at 4.32%. Gold is down $6.70 to $2,158. It's been hovering at or near all-time highs recently. And silver is flat at $25.09. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. This is the opening day of FOMC meeting at Barry Kite. I was going to send you there outside, you know, you could interview people as they come out and everything like this. But it's always exciting, the FOMC meetings, the Fed meet to discuss the economy, to discuss interest rates. And during my career, I've seen Greenspan, I've seen Bernanke, I've seen Powell. There was somebody Yellen, else in there. I guess Yellen. Was she the
Yellen
head of the
was
Fed
there,
at one point?
In between Bernanke and of course, Chairman Powell now.
But, okay, so they're
also
meeting
the Treasury Secretary currently. So
yes. Yes, she's been in there for a long time. So anyways, they'll be meeting. But, you know, it's going to be all about rate cuts now. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that it was all about rate hikes. And how far behind did the Fed get? Well, I suppose you could blame COVID on that, but they did 4.75 rate hikes in a row, which is as draconian as I've ever seen during my career in the business. And, of course, it clobbered the long duration bonds.
Yeah, you'd have to go to Volcker before, you know, since the last time. You know, he the joke with him is he'd cut 2 points at a time.
Yeah,
or,
that was
or really not
incredible.
Cut, raise 2 points at a time.
That's when we had runaway inflation, and Gerald Ford was wearing his badge win, which meant whip inflation now. And Volcker was able to do it. But we went through 4.75-point hikes, crushed long-term bonds. One of the biggest reasons why Silicon Valley Bank is no more. They owned a bunch of those long-term treasuries. And it also crushed long-duration stocks with ARK funds down, the ARK fund down 69% in 2022. So we learned once again that rising interest rates, well, interest rates in general have a massive impact. Not only on the market, stocks, but bonds.
Yeah, and cut both ways, right? And when we're talking, you know, the term duration really just is referred to as how sensitive an asset price is to interest rates, right? And so your long duration, you know, benefits well from interest rate cuts, and also on the other end of the spectrum gets hit first, you know, as interest rates tick up.
That's right. So this time around, we're talking and looking forward to interest rate cuts, maybe June, July. I guess it'll come down to, will there be three on the dot plot? Will there be two on the dot plot?
Yep.
Two seems to be the consensus right now. But here's the problem. I mean, the market has already priced in. Let's say they've priced in three interest rate cuts. It's already priced into the market. That's why you saw this massive rally that I pointed out in my newsletter over the week on Saturday. You had a 65% rise in the semiconductor sector. A big part of that was anticipation of lower rates, and of course the AI fervor that may finally be dying down a bit for now. You had a 35% move in the NASDAQ, which is outsized. I mean, it's kind of correct at some point in time. And you had the big move in the software stocks, about 35% also. And you took the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P over 21, and it's still at 21.1 right now. And in order for it to come back to a more moderate, let's just say 19, it would take almost an 11% correction for that. In addition to that, I've been seeing a lot of topping patterns in the market. That's the predominant, by far the predominant pattern in the market as I look at individual stocks today or yesterday and day before that and every single day. So you had the market rally yesterday in anticipation of something big coming from NVIDIA. And he did announce a lot of new partners, companies, new applications for NVIDIA, but nothing, I guess, really spectacular that the market thought might be coming. And so now you've got a sell-off in the NASDAQ today. And I guess now that meeting is behind us. Now it's the meeting taking place in Washington, D.C. today by the FOMC. Inflation continues to clear out. Canada's annual inflation rate, 2.8% in February. Of course, they're not running the massive deficits that we are. They're not printing the money that we are. They're at 2.8%, which, you know, look, most of these federal banks are shooting for 2%, so 2.8 is pretty good. And around the world, we're seeing inflation come down. But we're not seeing prices come down. We're just seeing
the rate of price increases
is coming down. Housing starts, building permits bounce back more than expected in February. I did notice a pretty good day yesterday in the building stocks, the building supply sector. Not a real exciting sector, but there were some breakouts within that sector. And the housing
energy
stocks, the energy stocks were okay. The home builders have kind of flattened out and also are putting in kind of a topping pattern right now. Now, when we come back, NVIDIA slips, even as Wall Street commends impressive GTC keynote address by Wang. How impressive was it? Well, I guess Wall Street wanted more impressive than what they heard. But there was a bevy of announcements from CEO Jensen Huang, who's kind of become the new guy this leather jacket, you know, and his microphone. And we
leather
used to
jackets,
watch.
the new turtleneck, right?
Yeah, we used to watch Steve Jobs in his black turtleneck roam around the stage. One of the great promoters of all time, and now it's Jensen Huang. It doesn't quite have the pizzazz, I don't think, but. Look, I mean, that's one of the greatest stocks of all time now. It's number three behind Microsoft and Apple, and gaining on Apple quickly. So anyways, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the where AI and NVIDIA are right now, some of the new partners and new applications for artificial intelligence. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, a lot taking place there in AI. The majority of his keynote was focused on developers. And the company laid out a grand ambition of an AI-powered future. I can see the commercials now on TV coming about this AI-powered future, and a lot of companies are involved. And, of course, it's generative artificial intelligence, which is being called the building block of a new industrial revolution. Well, we'll see. Among the many announcements made by Huang include the company's new Blackwell GPU platform. And that was really what the speech was centered around. That Blackwell is named after American mathematician David Blackwell. The new platform contains the B100 and B200 GPUs. They're twice the size.
Yeah, you held them up during the address.
Okay, what? Well, give me as big as a ice ball. What's in the?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's he's holding each one in his hand, right?
Oh, okay.
And apparently, like I said, I mean, this is above my computer prowess, but the chip essentially, it's basically like a double sided chip, so. Apparently, the speed is faster. A bunch of the energy used is lower. But the big key to the whole thing is when you really begin to see a lot of negative sentiment, where a lot of the stories or things you read right about NVIDIA is how long what's this ramp up cycle, right? Because all the companies need them, right? Of course, need the chips, particularly for data centers, that type of thing, but. How long is that investment cycle, right? Is it, is it 2 years, right? And then, things fall off. And so that's a lot of the talk where it's how much, who are the buyers of the products and how long will they be purchasing it?
Yeah, well, the current chip's about 35 grand, the H100. And the new chips are going to cost about 40% more, so that put them about $50,000. It's not going to fit inside your PC. Now, I could see one in my office here, doing my job while
what
I'm fishing.
What does it do? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's all about computing power and speed. Speed, speed, speed. The first users of the Blackwell, Amazon Web Services, and we have to remember that Amazon is not just a company delivering goods to your door. It's also a big AI player because of their Amazon Web Services, their servers.
Yep.
Also, Google, obviously, the Google Cloud, Microsoft Azure, and Oracle Cloud Infrastructure will be among the first cloud service providers to offer Blackwell-powered instances, and IBM will also offer Blackwell support. Again, about 50 grand for one of these chips. Other analysts praised NVIDIA after the keynote address. Wedbush currently has a $1,000 price target for NVIDIA, which is trading at $855 today. I would just say that the chart pattern of NVIDIA has leveled off for the first time in a long time. I mean, this thing took off in early January of this year, and man, it has not looked back since. It had that. It had one little dip there
in about mid July, early July.
And then there was one this year in mid February. Yeah. I'm not sure what that was all about. I can't remember right now. But now you have it taking off after their earnings report. I think it was their earnings report that really got it going again. But now, you know, it had that fervor. It hit a new high about 10 days ago, and then it finally cracked a week ago Friday, and it's been going sideways ever since. And that's your market leader, without question. It's been your market leader. So that's kind of setting the tone now for the rest of the tech stocks. It also hurt AMD. It's hurting AMD again today. AMD is down 5%, and AMD's back to its 50-day moving average because, you know, I mean, the theory is that how far behind now is AMD with this new Blackwell? And other ones are selling off also. Broadcom is selling off on this news. Wang also announced several new partners. I guess it would help sell and manufacture the chips. New partners include ANSYS. They've been around for a while, ANSS. That stock's up a little bit today. Cadence Design Systems is another new partner, CDNS. It's up a little bit today, even though the NASDAQ is down, and Synopsys, NNPS, which helps design chips, it's up today. And Wang also said that Taiwan Semiconductor, obviously, they're the ones that make the chips. They'll continue to make the chips. And so, that's about it with... I noticed he also said that several transportation companies will use its Drive Thor centralized computer to help power their consumer and commercial fleets. And ArcBest today announced a new collaboration with NVIDIA for their forklifts. Okay, so where is artificial intelligence going? Into a little bit of everything, LIDAR, autonomous driving, and a company like ArcBest, I mean, it's going even right down into the forklifts and other material handling processes that they use across warehouses, distribution centers, and manufacturing facilities.
That's what makes Amazon interesting, right? Just from a story standpoint, is logistically, right? Of course, you know, you would imagine that AI could help, cost and help that business be more efficient. And then also they've got the AWS on the server side. So
yeah, they're up to their eyeballs in AI with right. Amazon. And yeah. So, anyways, you got to remember, it's not just a thin margin delivering goods to your door. Now, the next wave that supposedly is coming, and, you know, I was there for the first personal computer revolution, personal computers, otherwise known as PCs. There hasn't been anything really big, really new in personal computers in quite some time, and this is where AMD will probably come in. In 2024, about 18% of total personal computer shipments globally will be AI-capable PCs. So we may see a lot of people, a new revolution for faster PCs using more AI, causing people to have to go out and upgrade their current PC. And I see the same thing happening in cell phones. We'll be right back.
The
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Do a little update here on the market right now, where you've got risk off in the riskier stuff. I consider that to be high tech. The Nasdaq's down 94 right now, and also the small caps, they're down 40 basis points. And if you Bitcoin's definitely a risk indicator, and Bitcoin is down 4,160 right now to 63,105. You know, the market, like I said, has come a long ways in a short period of time. And it looks to me like we've entered into a cooling off cycle, which I've been talking about for quite some time. There's two big factors at work right now. One is valuation, and two, just technical analysis. And really, technical analysis is just telling us that, you know, the demand to get into high tech, right, is drying up. A lot of people are sitting on big, big profits. Are there going to be any catalyst out there right now to continue to make high tech break out? Are you going to start to see some consolidation here? And again, you have to take it one stock at a time. All right, other uses for AI. Spire Global gains on a partnership with NVIDIA. You know, it's all you got to do now. In 2000, it was .com fever. Now it's NVIDIA fever. Oh, we're right. Partnership. I mean, it'll go come right down to like Chipotle and a partnership, all kinds of different companies. Spire Global is going to advance AI-driven weather prediction. Okay, so goodbye, weatherman, I guess.
I saw an AI model that was predicting the weather. Right?
And, did it predict this pollen?
We got 100% chance of pollen at the moment.
But, yes,
but it did. They were training it, I think, for like 6 months, and it was already like, I forget how much more accurate than the actual weather person on television.
Well, my nose is as accurate as the weather guy. You know, I predicted this pollen about 3 weeks. Everything's this time of year really kind of coated in this yellow.
Oh, yeah,
haze, not purple haze, yellow haze.
Yeah, it's the southern version of snow. It's we've got about an inch of pollen out there at the moment. Yeah. Waiting for the next rainstorm to at least wash it away before it comes right back.
Yes, but spring is in the air. The citrus blossoms are blooming, and it's a beautiful time. Okay, when's the last time Japan cut interest rates?
I know the answer.
When's the last time the U.S.
Yeah,
cut
17 years.
Rates?
I was trying to think what I was doing 17 years ago.
17 years. The dot plot. Every three months would come out. When are they going to cut interest rates? Well, yeah, but they've been at zero.
17 years. Yeah, what about that dot plot for 17 years?
Yeah. Right? Well, Japan's having a good year. I mean, their Nikkei cleared 40,000. For the first time. Our Dow hasn't quite gotten there, but it's pretty close, 38,893. It's within a wink of 40,000. We'll see whether or not it can get there. Now, the other story that I'm kind of watching here is this rise in crude oil.
I've seen it at the gas tank.
Well, yeah. You know. And with this being an election year, maybe they're driving it up, and then they'll start driving it down in August, September, October. Who knows? But anyways, top oil execs are ripping calls for a fast energy transition. Well, I mean, we've seen that in the EV sector where people bought EVs, decided to go on a trip, and found out that it's a miserable trip because you have range anxiety the whole time trying to find a... it's different, I'm sure, out west. But here on the East Coast, they're few and far between the charging stations. So anyways, and the other area that I've seen renewed interest is nuclear. Without a question, Constellation Energy is offering the first U.S. corporate green bond for nuclear energy. Now, back in my day, nuclear, no nukes was the big deal. All of the Hollywood and the movie stars, the singers, Graham Nash, Bruce Springsteen, all of Neil Young were calling for no nukes. And now you've got green bonds associated with nuclear energy. And by the way, Constellation Energy, which we discovered, CEG, with our app, that thing has been an unbelievable utility stock. They provide power, natural gas, renewable energy, and energy management products and services in the U.S. They were spun off. They're in Baltimore, Maryland. And this stock is one of the biggest winners in the market this year, and it's also one that we own. Another issue that you have right now are the drone attacks on Russian refineries, which have idled a significant chunk of Russia's refining capacity, and China's industrial production for January exceeded expectations. So all of a sudden you've got demand coming back in China. 15% of Russia's refining capability has been blown up by the Ukraine army, and so it's putting the squeeze on crude oil, which is hitting a 5-month high right now. And that's got to be a subject of discussion at the Fed meeting. That's an inflationary thing that has come up all of a sudden. AstraZeneca is making a purchase of Fusion, F-U-S-N. That's the big winner today. It's up 97% today, 97% on a buyout by AstraZeneca. Now, I'm just going to look real quickly. What was Fusion Energy? Not really. I didn't see any unusual action in the stock, although it's had a pretty good relative strength ranking here recently. Fisker halts production as it goes in overdrive trying to secure funds. 6 weeks, Barry. So if you've been waiting for your Ocean SUV to arrive, they have shut down, halted production for 6 weeks as the cash-strapped electric vehicle maker goes in overdrive trying to avoid bankruptcy. Now, they got a lifeline from one of the big car companies, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this plays out for the actual consumer, right? I mean, you get somebody who's purchased this vehicle, right, and it's different than in the past.
Who's going to service it?
Yeah, I mean, it's different in the past where you would have, somebody could begin making parts, right, in terms of refurbished parts, right, for a combustible engine, right? I think you mentioned DeLorean in the past, but it's interesting because a lot of the e-car itself, right, is much more technology-based, and the reason that Tesla can sell, the same model for, say, 5 years is because they have, software updates. And, you take something like Fisker, if you own this vehicle, like I said, is it like owning a Betamax, right, instead of choosing VHS, back in the day? It'd be interesting.
We've lost Lordstown Motors so far. That was the one that President Trump visited their plant in Lordstown, Ohio. There and talked about.
Is that the
their
ones
truck.
That were putting? Is that the ones that were? Who was it that basically put the truck down the hill? That was the.
That was our friends at.
Yeah.
They're still around. What are their names? The first name, Nikola.
Nikola Motors.
Now, and a rival also filed for bankruptcy, British electric van maker. Okay, Super Microcomputer went into the S&P 500, and it shot up and has given back all of its high, all of its gains since going in. I still like it, though. You know, they're gone to the well here to do a secondary offering. And a secondary offering is not necessarily bad. I mean, it depends on what kind of return they get on the money that they raise. Yes, it dilutes the shareholders, and it could dilute the earnings a little bit, but they've got big earnings, $25 a share expected next year. The stock's down 10.5% right now. Me, personally, I would look at that as more of a buying opportunity and an entry point to get into SMCI, which really is just kind of taken off the runway here with this massive earnings growth. And the last story, I remember when Ben & Jerry's was a hot NASDAQ stock and eventually got gobbled up by Unilever. Now Unilever's going to spin it off and lay off 77,500 people at Ben & Jerry's, but it will be its own unit once again. Okay, we'll take a look underneath the surface of the market when we come back.
This is Bill Gunn.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow is up 127, but the NASDAQ is down 66, which begs the question, why is the Dow up and the NASDAQ down? And I've looked at pretty good handful of charts here so far in the market. And I'm noticing that, you know, it's really the tech, the high tech, the AI stocks that are under pressure today and really not much else. Everything else looks just fine. As you look inside the Dow, the only two stocks are up over 1%. McDonald's is driving the Dow today. Up 1.5%. Not a very good chart, though, however, on McDonald's. Home Depot also is up 1.2%. That's an okay chart. Whenever, we're coated in pollen, Home Depot's usually got a full parking lot this time of year, Barry, you know.
Yeah.
All the garden supplies.
Yeah, I was going to say everything from dirt to, to swimming pools.
Yes, I've had a few orders of dirt dropped off at my house, along with, I like this, I found a new mulch that I really like. It's recycled rubber. Okay, so looks a lot better. And
it keeps the color longer, right?
It lasts, I think it lasts forever, pretty much, right?
Well, yeah, there we go.
And it looks really nice underneath the rose bush and different things that I grow around here. So anyways, I've had a pallet of that stuff delivered also from home. Okay, now let's take a look at the losing side on the Dow. The losing side on the Dow is Intel. Okay, so there you go. It's that high tech, even out there. Well, the chips, the semiconductors were up 65% in a short period of time. It was October of last year when they took off, It has to cool off, and it definitely has cooled off. It finally cracked a week ago last Friday, and now you're in a consolidation mode. Intel actually is not a very good chart at all. It's way behind. You think AMD maybe has fallen behind NVIDIA? How far behind is Intel? Intel is actually kind of breaking support right now, headed towards its 200-day moving average. We do not own any Intel. Now, we'll take a look at the NASDAQ. I'm going to guess that the NASDAQ, it's the same thing. The higher falutin, the big loser in the NASDAQ is AMD. AMD's coming under heavy pressure after it really bolted higher. AMD right now is sitting on its 50-day moving average.
Yeah, and what you and there's a reason there, because the fact that number one, right, you've got the the announcement by NVIDIA, and then also, like I said, the length of this ramp up period in getting the infrastructure and data centers in place, right, for AI. If that period ends up being shorter, right, then that, of course, impacts AMD's business more significantly than NVIDIA, because NVIDIA is further along.
Yeah, and I would just say, I just looked at AMD's valuation a little bit ago before we started the show. I like AMD's valuation at this level, and it is hitting its 50-day moving average. But I would step a little bit carefully, because you've also got pressure on the NASDAQ, pressure on the semiconductors in general right now, which were overdue for a correction. And, AMD had that big blow-off top there the same day that NVIDIA did. They both topped on that Friday, and that was, I call that a blow-off top. This is one of the technicalists. But AMD hit 227 at the one point that day. So it's down 50 points from that blow-off top just 2 weeks ago. It's hitting its 50-day moving average. It's now down 6.3%. So rather than running and unloading AMD, there are others that I have unloaded. I would be looking more for an entry point. I don't think, you know what, they have a good management team too. You can't count AMD out just because Jensen Huang was making his announcements. They're quietly working on their initiatives too.
Yeah, I mean they've already conquered Intel, right?
Yeah.
Over the years, so it's not like they can't do it, right? They've shown that they can in the past. So.
The other one under pressure, and I mean, if anybody's going to cut into NVIDIA's market share, it would be AMD. There is nobody else out there. And you've also got Broadcom under pressure today. Okay, now on the upside in the NASDAQ, not much. It's those ones that NVIDIA announced a partnership with. Synopsys, Cadence, or two of, they're up a couple of percent today is all, as the NASDAQ's coming under some pressure again today. And then on the S&P 500, it's the AI stocks, AMD and Arista Networks. Arista's down 4.7%. And on the upside in the S&P 500, here's JW Nordstrom's is the winner in the S&P 500 today. Go figure, it's up 12%. International Paper is up 9%. We're going low-tech today. Kohl's is up 3.3%. Etsy is up 2.9%. Macy's is up 2.7%. And Natural Gas APA is up 2.4%. And GM up 1.8%. So it's a low-tech kind of day.
Yeah, how are some of our fertilizer stocks doing?
I'll have to check into them. I would just say that, the hype didn't quite live up to what was expected yesterday. That could have revived the move in AI. Instead, it seems to be accelerating a little bit of sell-off and profit-taking. Well, that's the word, profit-taking. They're not selling because there's no future for these stocks. They're taking some profits off the table. But I think the money will come back into the leadership stocks once the selling is done, depending upon the stock. Now, to get the newsletter, 2 free weeks, go to GundersonCapital.com. That's the most thorough newsletter in the land, but it's an easy read. I mean, it's just look at the pictures. That's all you got to do. And if you want to set up an appointment with us, Barry told me he's got his full day booked. He'll be talking through nasal congestion from the pollen in the air here. I'm in an office with a filter, so I'm okay. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.